Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why Show Me Scares.
Oh, hi there.
Hello.
I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
Welcome to Show Me Scares.
Again.
I think we say that every time. We should do that again.
It's totally our intro,
I guess. So I hope everybody's doing fantastic. Everybody's, you know, getting a little bit better all the time.
And enjoying the sunshine.
Yes.
That we've had in Missouri anyway. Mm-hmm.
We sure enjoyed the sunshine. This weekend we spent the weekend on the river. So camping, floating, exhausting.
Sunburning.
We are sunburned and we are exhausted. It's great.
We brought it on ourselves.
That's true. But we had a great time with great people. And so we'll do it again.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. So let's get right into the story.
Sounds good.
It kind of has some similarities to something we've done before. But it, I mean, it's a completely different story. It doesn't have any connections. But it, you'll see what I mean about something similar. It's kind of weird.
Yeah?
Yeah. Although it happened like 30 something years before.
Weird.
Yeah. Anyway, we are going to talk about J.J. White and Ed Klum. Klum or Klum. I might say it either way.
That's not how this works.
Yeah. We'll just see. We'll see what comes out. I mean, it might change. But if you hear me say either one of those, I'm talking about the same dude. Oh, Eddie. They were from Wayne County, New York. They served together in the Civil War, and they remained friends after the war. White was the more attractive and upstanding. Klum was odd. He was kind of a low-down class guy, you know what I mean? Yeah. Lower class. People thought their friendship was really odd, like it didn't go because mm-hmm. of how White was this nice looking, very sophisticated kind mm-hmm. of, and Klum was just known as
Klum.
not that. In 1862, J.J. White married Augusta, I forgot her last name, White, after she got married. She was a sophisticated lady from a very prominent New York family. So, obviously, because of how upstanding he is, right? Mm-hmm. And in 1869, Klum married Charlotte, or she will be known as Lottie. That's what she's called. She's a lot more like Klum than White. So, White obviously marries this lovely, sophisticated woman from a prominent family, and Klum gets...
what he gets.
Not the sophisticated yeah. lady kinda from like a him. Prominent family. Exactly. They worked perfect. I mean, they married in their class, let's say, as genderly as possible. By 1880, the two families had settled close to one another on farms near West Walmouth, New York. White began pursuing Lottie, Klum's wife.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
interesting.
I don't think she was quick to say no, because she actually became known as a common prostitute.
Oh, my.
Yes. So she was very much not a lady. She, well, I mean, in those days, for sure, not a lady. She got around, okay? There was no secret mm-hmm. in town that she likes the men. Ed's reputation wasn't really better. I mean, people saw in this town where they lived, West Walmouth, people saw J.J. White as this philanderer and womanizer. And then Lottie was this whore. Let's just say it. That's what they thought. And Ed Klum, his reputation wasn't any better because they didn't know why he wasn't standing up and putting a stop to it.
Right.
So he was this coward and this weak man who couldn't stop this affair. Mm-hmm. So eventually, both families move again.
Together? Like same area?
Yes. They Weird. Moved again to Fairmont, I think is where this place was called. Also in New York. White was Clum's supervisor on the railroad.
Oh.
So Clum was kind of a foreman mm-hmm. on this railroad crew, and White was the supervisor. So again, White is so one,
over Clum. One,
just over him a little bit. They both joined the Fairmont post of the Grand Army of Republic. I'm not really sure what that was, and I didn't look into it. But apparently, like, maybe for people who have been in the service and kind of like a guard.
Right.
Like a state guard or something like that. Yeah, something like that. That's what I took it for. So, White was quickly discharged. White, the upstanding gentleman, because he and Lottie took a drunken trip down Main Street on a horse, apparently. And they were quite intoxicated, and they put pedestrians in harm's way. So he was dishonorably discharged, boom, right away, pretty much, furthering that. They were like, no, our guys don't do this stuff.
Right.
But Clum,
you're not representing.
Clum, the lowdown skis, is still in, of course, because he's working for everything he has, mm-hmm. is what I think. The affair didn't stop. It was still going on. But they were all kind of just drinking together, partying together all the time. And every time one moved, the other one followed for some reason. And so this affair just keeps going on mm-hmm. and keeps getting... It's kind of like flirty and they're having a good time. And then they're kind of getting too much and people start noticing. And then by this point, it had gotten so bad and the rumors were so bad that Mrs. White, so Augusta, it was really taking a toll on her mental mm-hmm. state. And she ended up committing suicide on Memorial Day in 1884. Oh, she hung herself.
Man.
Yes. Jay.
How awful is yes,
that? Her husband, J.J. White, he was out of town on business when she died. And he received word that his wife had committed suicide, but he didn't return home right away. When he came back, he went straight to the Clum's residence.
Of course he did.
And had a night of drinking and fun.
He didn't care about his wife.
No. It's super sad.
It breaks my heart.
Yeah. I really think that he probably married her for who she was.
Right. Like he had to stay in his class.
Yeah. But I mean, for her, this wasn't just her. This was her whole family. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shame that he had brought to her entire family from all that he was doing.
And still didn't give a shit.
It was too much. She could not take it. And in that time, you know, reputation was everything. Mm-hmm. And so she couldn't face it anymore. And that's the belief, anyway. I don't know that there was any kind of note left or anything. I didn't find anything like that, but... So, shortly after Augusta committed suicide, Clum was arrested for stealing sheep.
That's a weird thing.
He's a weird guy. So, White, his best buddy, jumps in and negotiates a deal for him to keep him out of the penitentiary. So, this kind of just wrapped that little hold he has on him around even tighter.
I'm surprised he didn't let him go to the pen so he could be with the woman.
I don't know. I don't know what that was about, but I thought that too. Like, mm-hmm. Why didn't you just get rid of him then? Like,
right.
But he didn't. He kept him out of the pen, but he now owes him something, you know?
Of course. Like
he always has. Mm-hmm. I think he really liked to toy with him. I really think that's what it was. Right. He convinces him to relocate to Rochester until it all blows over. So you need to move over to Rochester, let all this go. And the plan was Lottie would join him very shortly. She'd be there in a little while.
Yeah. I'm just going to hang back with Mr. White.
That's exactly what happened. So the relationship got a lot more serious, a lot more intimate. Well, they're alone now. Mm-hmm. They don't have to hide, I guess, whatever. So eventually Lottie did go to Rochester, though. But by the time she had gotten there, she had fallen ill, and I couldn't find what ill meant. Like, I don't know what she had. I'm guessing syphilis. Okay, that was mean. I'm just saying. I'm thinking it's probably an STI of some kind, but...
What do we know?
I don't know. I mean, she might have had the flu. I don't know, but she was sick. So the couple, the Klums, Lottie and Ed, they decide the best thing to do for Lottie is to move to her sister's place so her sister can help her get back to health. Her sister lives in Lebanon, Missouri.
Interesting.
That's how we get to Missouri.
I was wondering why.
I couldn't believe you hadn't
this?
Said anything yet because I was like, Rochester, New York. And you just...
Okay. I was waiting.
We're going somewhere with this.
You say I always jump ahead, so I was just waiting.
You're right. So they decide it's best for her to move to Missouri to stay with her sister so she can be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds fine, right?
I don't know.
She does. And J.J. White also moves.
No way.
To Pierce City, Missouri at the same time, roughly the same
time.
That's
not awkward at all.
Right. And so that's something that's kind of speculated. Did she ever need to move with her sister? Did they make the decision together? Or did she come to him and say, I really think it'd be best if I moved to my sister's. My boyfriend's coming too, you know? Yeah. So, that's a possibility. So, within no time, White is moved to Missouri too. He lives in Pierce City. He buys a farm. And, of course, Lottie's moved in mere weeks, probably.
Right.
It's not long. She's living with him. And everybody in Pierce City knows them as the Whites. Mr. and Mrs. White. Okay? They are husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. Right? So, eventually, of course, as it would, word gets back to Ed via her sister. I think he's, like, checking in on her. Hey, how's she doing? Is she getting any better? And the sister says, she's not here anymore. She moved to Pierce City with this dude. And so he's like,
what?
What the f***, man?
What dude?
Yeah. So he comes to Missouri. And they don't know really what to do. He comes right straight to Pierce City to JJ's farm, right? And they're kind of at a loss on how they're going to do this because he's not just gonna walk away, and I really think that he was just a good guy. Like, he was kind of a shitty dude. I mean, he stole stuff and stuff, like, and he drank too much and sure, but he loved her and wanted to keep his marriage together, and these other two were just having a good time and didn't care about him at all.
Kind of like the wife that died, that hung herself.
Yeah, yeah. So he comes to Missouri, and he's going to stay there for a while, right? For some reason. I would love to know how this conversation went, but anyway.
Especially coming and she's living with him.
Yeah.
With White.
Yeah. Yeah, be like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Well, everybody already knew them as the Whites.
No, there's this dude.
Yeah. So in order to save her reputation there, since she's been living there, they introduce him as her brother.
What the actual? And he went along with this?
He did. He went along with it. He was her brother and J.J. White's brother-in-law.
Wow.
Yes. So.
Wow.
Nobody in town ever knew any different.
That's awkward.
Mm-hmm. So he stays for a little while, just a short time. Before he leaves, he packs her up and takes her back to Lebanon to her sister. And she promises him then, as soon as she is able, healthy enough to travel, she will be headed back to New York to be with him.
Yeah, she will.
Right. And he leaves. She heads right back to,
of course,
the White farm. So he ends up, when he gets back to Rochester, he ends up getting into a little bit of trouble. He's dishonorably discharged from the GAR, just like White was.
Mm-hmm.
So they're at this, like, camp out with a bunch of the members, you know, kind of like an event where they're all together and having a good time. And he gets too drunk and he's giving all these obscenities and stuff in front of the wives and children of other members. Man. And so they give him the boot too. Mm-hmm. So he loses that when, you know, that was something going good for him. Something he had over the other one. Right. White. Lottie had moved to Missouri in the spring of 1885. So this is not quite a year since. Okay. February 1886, Ed is notified that Lottie has died. Whatever illness she had took her life. So he makes the trip to Missouri again, and he does not spill the beans. Like I said, nobody ever knew this. He still keeps up with the charade. Hey, I'm back to bury my sister.
What the hell?
Beside my brother-in-law. And he ends up moving in with White after her death and stays there. So in White's household, there is a housekeeper. She's kind of a housekeeper. That's what I'm going to call her. She's a housekeeper, like a maid, something of that nature. A hired woman that works for him. And her 14-year-old son also helps on the farm. And then there is another hired hand named Dahoney. He will come in later. That's why I didn't care about the others' names, because I don't want to give too many details. They're only going to be talked about a few times. So that's the people in the house. But there's also a 17-year-old girl who's been working in the house. Her name is Ella Bow. And she is the daughter of another farmer. And from what was written about her in the papers, it wasn't nice. She was uneducated, not very smart, not very, I don't know. Like, the way that they talked about her, like she was just unworthy of anything, was sad. But I think she didn't think she had a shot at anything. Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of this servant in this house as well. And she helped to care for Lottie while she was sick. Well, that's the group. It's everybody in the house, okay? And on the property, I guess. The housekeeper, the old housekeeper, I say old out how she is, but older than 17. she got to know Clum more. And the more she got to know him, the more comfortable she got, the more her lips flapped. And right. She started telling things, right? So it became apparent to her a few months before Lottie's death that Ella and JJ were spending a lot of time together. A lot more all the time. Mm-hmm. And she felt there was something going on. And of course, she didn't say anything to him because women would not do that.
Right.
But she, like I said, she got comfortable with him and started saying, hey, you know, before you were here, some crazy stuff happened. And so she tells him all this. And then it seems like, and I don't know, it's reported, it's speculated that Clum had this kind of crush on Ella too, which she's 17 and both of these men are in their 30s. So there's that, first of all. But
and back then, yeah, not cool.
Well, I think they were in their 40s.
Wow.
Yeah, they were in their 40s. I did my math wrong. They were in their 40s. And so this little girl is just, you know, but she's nothing to the world, like I said. She's never going to be anything.
She's getting attention from someone.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's working on this farm, and this man owns all of this stuff and can give her a life. I mean, that's kind of what the point was then, you know, sadly. So she tells him all this, and he's kind of like, Okay. Well, then she tells him there's another conversation had where she's
clapping her gums again.
Yes. And she tells him that on the evening of Lottie's death, she saw Ella and JJ mix something white and powdery into her food.
Oh my.
And thinks that they poisoned her.
Wow.
Right. This is his wife she's telling him about. And at that point, he comes clean with her and says, that was my wife. That is not my sister. And he's furious now because they have...
What a confusing situation.
I know. But as far as he knows now at this point, they have murdered his wife so they can be together. And
all they had to do is make the wife go back to him.
Exactly.
Didn't have to kill her.
So it seems like he's already upset about this, right? And maybe has a crush on the little girl. And he's not sure that it's happened, but he's furious because mm-hmm. of the possibility. And then Ella and JJ announce their engagement. They will be married the first part of August, I think, is when they were set to be married. And that sealed the deal for him. He knew that it was probably all true at that time.
That sealed the deal, but him sleeping with his wife didn't seal the deal.
Exactly. That's weird, but whatever. I kind of feel like there might have been a little more like group stuff going on, right. If that makes sense. Probably. Like it seemed like it said something about JJ had started hanging out air quotes with another couple. Also, whenever he and Lottie started their thing in New York, he was also seeing another couple. So I think there was a lot going on.
Wow.
Just a lot, you know.
A lot of swinging.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know that, but that's kind opinion. Of what they alluded mm-hmm. to. And so I think, you know, maybe it wasn't like, oh, they're cheating. It's like, they're not supposed to do this without me. Like,
right.
So right. I don't know. I don't know that. And that would definitely be something that people would lose their minds over right. in those times. But just saying.
But now here's JJ, another step ahead of him again.
Right. So if he did like this girl,
mm-hmm.
now JJ is going to marry her. Mm-hmm. And so there's that too.
Oh.
On July 8th, 1886, Clum stalked through the field of the White Farm with White's shotgun in his hand. Dahoney, the hired man, called out to him and asked him to help him load a wagon of like straw or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he went over and helped him, loaded it. He's like, shit, one more
Fine.
Thing.
Fine.
This can wait a minute, I guess. But then he continues on his way and he finds JJ and Ella lounging under a walnut tree together.
How sweet.
Blissfully in love. He raises the shotgun and empties both barrels.
Good God.
Quickly reloads and empties both barrels again. Both Whoa. Of them. Yeah. Both of them were killed almost instantly.
I'd say.
White died from a shot to the forehead. And Ella had a spray into the small of her back.
Mm.
It said, in the paper, it said something about she was shot in the vitals. I don't know. It was, the I mean, I get it. It went right through her vital organs, but it was just the way that, you know.
She was shot in her vitals.
She was shot through her vitals. I was like, well, that's a way to say it. Poor thing.
Again, she's kind of innocent.
She is. Like, she really is.
All these women.
I know.
Well, one of them was innocent. That's, but well, the wife.
That's three, though, women down.
All because of White, pretty much.
Pretty much. You said it. So he yells out. The Dahoney's driving down through there on the wagon.
That he just loaded.
And he thought, that was very odd that he had a gun. And he turns and he sees him.
Unloading it.
Level the rifle and shoot the first time. And then he witnesses the whole thing. And then, so he's paying attention, so Clum's like, hey, buddy, come here. I need you to get something for me. And so Dahoney drives the wagon over to him.
Of course.
They load the bodies into it and then pull it up by the barn and they go in and have supper. Yes.
Unbelievable.
I know. Then after nightfall, they come out and take the bodies to, like, this ditch. They put them in, they cover them with rocks and straw and all kinds of crap. It's like 3 feet deep that they bury them. And they leave them there. And nobody knows a thing.
Unbelievable.
He does tell Dahoney that he will kill them the same, kill him the same way if he says a word to anybody. And he believes him because he just watched him do it twice, right? So Dahoney is terrified, and Clum is apparently keeping an eye on him, watching him close. And for 2 weeks, nobody knew a thing. And then Dahoney eventually fakes an illness and says, "Dude, I gotta go to town and get some medicine. I'm sick." And he finally lets him out. And he goes to town and he goes straight to the sheriff's department and tells them,
"Bro, hey,
this just happened." So they find the bodies and then they arrest Clum that day. He's arrested without incident. And then whenever they interrogate him, he tells them everything.
Uh-huh.
So they know this guy is the brother of Mrs. White. And since her death, Mrs. White's husband and this guy's brother-in-law have been best friends. They have worked together. They're seen together in town all the time. They're friendly. And then he unloads the truth on them. And they're like, "What?
Mind
happened
blown."
Here. Yeah. So this became this huge case now because people were crazy about the details mm-hmm. of it. And I think that, I don't know if they just took his word. I'm sure they checked into records and stuff
probably
to make sure it was correct. I didn't see that in the papers, but the papers leave so much out. But yeah, so there's, he just,
all this unloaded.
Yeah. I'd be like, "What? You're lying.
You're psycho.
Did you just make that up? Because that's crazy." Yeah. So anyway, that's how they found out, was when he
holy crap
made the confession. He was convicted of both murders in September of 1886, and he was executed on April 15th, 1887 in Cassville, Missouri at 3:07 p.m.
Wow. I was wondering how it came about to Missouri.
I know. A lot of it happens in New York, but
New York to Missouri.
It all blew up in Missouri. That's what happens when you come to Missouri. You lose your mind.
You start acting like your wife's brother.
That's crazy, isn't it? Well, you know, we did the Welton case, and mm-hmm. she was his sister when she came. And I was like, did this happen all the time? Like,
is this common?
What the heck? Like, these people you're married to show up and you're like, "Well, you're gonna have to pretend to be my sibling because I'm married again."
You're never leaving. Moving away for,
oh my god, bit. How stupid.
None of that, "I'll be there in a few months." No.
Yeah, it's stupid. Okay, I want to do final thoughts and stuff here in a minute, but first we're going to take a little break and let them listen about your haunted holiday.
Hi, everybody. This is Lisa.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are identical twins who love to travel, but we are also completely obsessed with ghosts.
That's right. So each week, we're going to bring you a new location, including the scary history of the place, along with some ghost stories that are experienced at each location that you have access to go to, and our travel reviews. So if you want to go on your own haunted travels or just live vicariously through us on our podcast, please come join us each week.
Yeah, new episodes of Your Haunted Holiday are updated every Sunday, and you are sure to get a few laughs from our misadventures and fleeing from hotels at night, as well as learn a bit of history, and definitely you're going to get a little bit of a scare.
Your Haunted Holiday is available anywhere you stream your favorite podcasts, or come find us at yourhauntedholiday.com.
Okay, so that was from Lisa and Lindsay at Your Haunted Holiday. And that's a podcast that I have become obsessed with lately. I saw them on a Facebook Live event and started listening. And it's really great because I'm jealous mainly that they get to do it and I don't, because that would have absolutely been my perfect setup and perfect show if I had the money and the time to travel to all those places. Basically, it's almost like a kind of like a review, like a travel review for haunted locations.
That's awesome.
So it's like my two favorite things, travel and paranormal, crammed into one show, and it's fantastic. And they're great. They're just really kind of down to earth ladies, and I really, really enjoy it. I mean, I subscribed right away. I've binged till I'm caught up. So there's all that. And I think they started their podcast about a month before ours. So
very cool.
They're pretty new too, but they have some really great episodes. They did the Crescent Hotel as well.
Nice.
Yeah. So we've talked about hooking up if they get to come down to the Crescent soon.
That would be
then
fun.
Then we'll meet them there. Yeah. So they are fantastic. And go listen to them and see what you think, because I really like their podcast. So there you go. Your haunted holiday.
So final thoughts.
Oh, final thoughts on this one. So, okay, here's my issue. Here's one of my issues. There are a lot. So it's said that people started noticing in town that J.J. White and Ella Bow, Bow, whatever, hadn't, it's spelled B-O-W-E, Bow, Bow, mm-hmm. whatever. It's said that people started saying, after they had been missing for 2 weeks, They said, you know, we haven't seen them in a while. That is mm-hmm. kind of weird, you know. But that evening, they're laying under a walnut tree on their farm while housekeeper lady is back home cooking supper. And they don't come in for supper and nothing's said. So I know I read at one spot that the housekeeper and her son both knew of the murders.
Didn't care? Or?
I'm guessing not. And I don't know if it was probably, honestly, it was probably the same deal as Dahoney. Mm-hmm. It was like, don't tell or I'll shoot you too. So I just thought, it noted in the papers how people said, it's very weird that because they come to town like 3 or 4 times a week. And
nobody asked questions?
Yeah.
Weird.
People noticed that they hadn't, but the housekeeper and stuff didn't say anything. But again, I'm sure it was probably that, but anyway.
And why did this Clum guy keep following White when he moved? Like,
if I know
he's sleep, if he knows he's sleeping with your wife, like,
I really think that he just wanted his wife. He just loved her and wanted
just
to
wanted
be
her
with
happy.
Her. And I mean, it also could be that he looked up to him and he always wanted to be who he was. And so he let him walk on him. He let him do yeah. those things to him.
Gross.
And he just wanted...
Sad ordeal.
Yeah. So I do think that he probably just cracked and...
got tired of...
Yeah. He was feeling like, I am done. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. But not that he should shoot the poor little girl. Not that he should shoot him either. But I'm saying, like...
the girl that he had a crush
what
on.
What the hell did she do? Like, she's just trying to in marry love, somebody yeah. with money. I don't know. It's sad.
It is. That White guy sounds like an asshole, though.
Yeah, he does.
He just used
everything. And maybe that was just the way the story was told, too. Mm-hmm. But
true.
That's just the way that I took it, was he was just... I mean, he just used everybody for what they gave to him, and that was it.
Right.
His poor wife. I think she's the saddest story of all. You know? She's this educated, sophisticated young woman. She marries this...
handsome,
lovely yeah. young man, and then he turns into this sex crazed monster, and yeah, it's sad.
It's not her fault.
No. And I mean, what was she supposed to do? It was like divorce wasn't a thing,
right?
That was almost as bad as anything he had done. So it's sad. She just,
nothing she did was worth it to him.
No. Poor lady.
Agreed.
I got a couple newspaper nuggets this time.
All right, let's hear it.
So it's kind of funny. This first one actually was in New York, so that's why
there you
I
go.
Picked it. But it says, it's very short.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if it's a nug. It's probably a n.
What?
It's that short. Thomas Murray dropped his cigar while smoking in his bedroom in New York. It fell on a powder flask and the explosion blew off his right hand.
What the fuck? Talk about a bad day.
I know, but when is this news? Like, that was actually reported in 1884 in New York. Oh
my gosh, that is news. This, come on. I know.
So the other one, I found this other one and I was reading it and was like, well, that's a lie because I don't believe it at all. And you tell me if you believe it because I don't think it's possible. Maud S. recently trotted a mile.
What does it even mean?
In 2:09.75, the fastest time on record.
No.
There is no way. No way somebody ran a mile in 2 minutes.
The record is 3 minutes and something right now.
Well, Maud beat it back in 1884, just saying.
I'm Googling that shit.
I was like, lies. Sometimes I read some of these and I'm like, no, you're full of crap. And that one was like, no, that can't be.
That's stupid. That's insane.
So I don't know if it's true. And if it is, Maud was one fast lady.
Trotted.
And she trotted, yeah. I'm like, no, she friggin' sprinted. If she, like, there's no trotting to it.
No trot.
Trot seems very leisure to me. I don't feel like that was the right wording at all. So, there's that.
Trotted.
A 2 minute mile and a right hand blown off by dropping a cigar. I mean, that's a bad night.
Oh my gosh. So the fastest mile...
Terry's truth. Look at this. You're going to just...
The fastest woman is 4:12.
And see, that's crazy fast.
And the name is Siphon. Okay, here. You tell me what the name is.
Oh, this is going to be bad. Where is it? Oh, Siphon Hassan.
See, you did it so good. Yep. So there you go. It was not a trotted 2 minute mile. No.
And ask her if she trotted. She's like, bitch, I ran my ass off. I didn't trot. That's awesome. So there's a nugget and a truth right there together.
And that's been held since 1976. So yeah.
Wow. Well, in 1884, somebody beat it.
My bad.
By a whole 2 minutes. Cut that bitch in half, actually.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's stupid. Anyway, it's a lie.
I love newspapers. So it's just stupid. Like Facebook. Anything you read is true.
God bless America. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And we will... Next week, what are we going to do? Something haunted?
Do you have anything? You don't have some plan? What are we going to do?
I have tons of things planned, but I don't have anything like decided on. I have a question. Pick one. Huh?
Why is that? Okay, so we have a board behind us, behind Shayla. It has all these names of what we're doing next. What's in the future? In the last 3 weeks, we haven't done a damn thing on that board.
3 weeks. I'm pretty sure those have been written on there for like 2 months.
I was giving you some credit.
Nothing has ever been erased, I don't think.
Nothing up there has been done.
Sometimes when we do a show, I write it up there that week and then erase it right away. And just so I feel like I'd mark something up.
Let's just attack some of these.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Whatever. We're not going
to. No, there's some of these. So some of these haunted ones I want to go visit. And some of the names you see are murders that places have haunted places that we can visit. So
you're waiting to go visit them.
So, COVID screwed the whole world up.
Yeah, we kind of got a damper on that, didn't we? All right, fair enough. I'll let you off this time.
So, I don't know if you guys have been to our website yet. It's fun. I mean, I hope so.
It's fun.
Anyway, check it out. Tell me what you think. And
we have merch.
Or not. We do have merch. Wow. We need to buy some of
them. We don't even have merch.
And we need it. Like,
pronto.
We need it, yeah.
Wouldn't you like to sport around a coffee cup or a t-shirt with our...
I'm gonna buy like one of everything.
No, well, easy.
We're gonna be broke off of our own merch.
We are.
<That's laughs> We'll awesome. Be the nerds walking around with show me scares on everything.
It's all right. Brr.
Okay, well, thank you guys again for listening, and head to the website, showmescares.com. All the socials is at showmescares, And I think that's pretty easy to find.
Sounds good. Yeah. I'm glad you made it easy for me.
That's all.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll hook you up next week.
Stay safe. Have a fantastic week. We love you. Bye.
Bye.